If you will, first this morning, turn with me to Acts chapter 17. I want to read a few verses here before I move on to my main text. Most of you are very familiar with the story of the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill. And in verse 22 of Acts 17, it reads, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship.'" Notice those last five words. "Him declare I unto you." The title of my lesson is "Him declare I unto you." Now, Paul plainly told the men of Athens that in all things, he said, you're just too superstitious. More religious than any other people I've ever met in my life. The people of Athens, as you know, they had more gods and more altars. They were more diligent and devoted in the worship of the gods than any people in any place. And superstitious, that word in the original word simply means a practice resulting from ignorance. A false conception of the cause of something. We have many superstitious people in churches today. They have a false conception of the cause of salvation. And the people of Athens ignorantly worshiped, for they had a god for everything. Paul called them superstitious. They had a god for this and a god for that. But our Lord told the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, that those who worship God worship Him in spirit and in truth. And just in case these people of Athens had missed one, they had built an altar to one that they might have missed. And they said, in case we missed one, here's an altar for the unknown God, one we don't know about. And Paul said, "Him, that's the one I'm declaring unto you. And I declare unto you this morning that the God of the Bible is an unknown God to most. Men and women know little about the only true God." That's just a fact, sad but true. "And most preach and teach a God of man's imagination. Yes, God is unknown to the majority of people in our day." But I love what Paul said in verse 23, the unknown God, it is Him that I declare unto you. And it's my most earnest desire to preach to you Him. The unknown God to the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Him that we preach and Him that believers believe. There are many that will profess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but there are a few that know Him as God. Have you seen the Christ as God? That's the beauty of the gospel and divine substitution. Salvation is not that a good man died for sinners. Salvation is, and the gospel is that God died for sinners. God fulfilled His own holy law, that we might be perfectly righteous and holy, unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Only one way that can be accomplished. We talk about it week after week. Colossians 1:22 reads, "In the body of His flesh, it's Him that I declare unto you, in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." Oh, how I long to be holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in the sight of a thrice holy God. It's Him, dear friends, that I declare unto you this morning. The unknown God is the one and only true God. It's the unknown God that the believing sinner puts their trust in completely. Look at verse 24. "God then made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything." Men today preach a needy God. God needs you to do this. God needs you to do that. Won't you let God do this? That ain't no God at all. That's a needy God, and God is not needy. "Though He needed anything at men's hands, seeing that he giveth all life, all his people, and breath to all men and all things. The rain falls on the just and unjust. But I'm going to tell you the chief cause behind it somehow, some way, was God's people. Paul simply saying in these two verses here that my God is God. You can call him unknown. He is unknown to you, but he's my God. It's him that I declare unto you. My God is the Lord of heaven and earth. The Lord Jesus Christ. My God made the worlds and all things therein, he says. And he said, my God doesn't dwell in temples made with men's hands. He's the God who is everywhere at all times, doing all that he pleases and working out all things according to his own will and purpose. My God doesn't need anything from the hands of men, even worship. Sometimes men make it out as though, you know, God is dependent on our worship. God doesn't need our worship. We need to worship him. It's all for our good. But he's not benefited or profited by it. And he said, my God gives to all life and breath and all things. It's him. It's him, H-I-M, that I declare unto you. Now, with that said, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I suppose there's no better passage of Scripture found in the Bible that declares him unto us. Beginning in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Who are you an apostle of, Paul? I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. By the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Two things that I will mention briefly from this verse. All God's servants are called and appointed by the will of God. Are they not God's servants? Men that call themselves are not God's servants. It's those who are appointed by God, the will of God, that are. Those who are made saints, believers, and servants of the living God are the faithful in Christ Jesus, according to verse 1. Faithful in Christ Jesus. Faith is not blind faith. We say this all the time. Faith has an object. Our faith is in the divine substitution of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's him that I declare unto you this morning. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, grace and peace from God the Father comes in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. God's grace is found in Christ. God's love and peace is found in Christ. The righteousness and holiness of God is found only in Christ. And it's him that I declare unto you this morning. All that you need from God to be saved is found only in God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only fitness, the old song says, the only thing that God requires of you, dear sinner, is that you feel and see your need of him. If you don't see your need of Christ, you'll never come to him. If you don't see and feel your sin and your condition and your lost estate, you'll never see your need of him. That's the only fitness that God requires. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. Underline it. The child of God blesses, thanks, and worships God. Not only because God deserves to be, which he most definitely does, but because God has blessed his people with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What does that mean? Well, I think I can simply just tell you that all that is heaven is ours. We are made righteous and holy, and we're made to be thankful. We're adopted into the kingdom of God, not by the works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We've been washed in his blood. His blood. Our minds have been renewed, and that original word renewed means changing. Changing for the better. A complete restoration. And we are transformed, again meaning changed, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, how's that accomplished? Paul tells us, is accomplished in Christ. In Christ. The unknown God is Him that I declare unto you, Paul said. Verse 4, according as He hath chosen us, where? Where did God choose us? In Him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We are assured that salvation is 100% of the Lord. Because, first of all, we know that God chose us before the foundation of the world. And it had nothing to do with our goodness or our wickedness. Before the foundation of the world. Before we ever were. God set His affection on some people and gave them to Christ, and He said, live for them, die for them. God chose us in Christ that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. It's in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I declare unto you. What do you think of Him? That's the question of questions. What think ye of Christ, our Lord said? Is He nothing to you? Or is He everything to you? And you answer that in your own heart. If He's nothing to you, or is He everything to you? What do you think of Him as a matter of eternal life or eternal death? Well, Apostle Paul goes on in verse 5 saying, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Oh, these are rich verses, aren't they? And as I mentioned a moment ago, God has predestined. That simply means predetermined. God has predetermined us into the adoption of children. Now, what a blessed thought that is. You know, I know even those of us who love the doctrines of grace and we talk about election and predestination, I think sometimes we say the words without giving them much thought. Our salvation is not determined by what we do or don't do. It is predetermined. By God Himself. Predetermined. You had nothing to do with it. Our adoption has been predetermined, predestinated by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the pleasure of His will. It pleases God to have predetermined people by Christ, in Christ, and through Christ. For it was Christ who paid our sin debt. What was our sin debt? The wages of sin is death. Paid in full. Paid in full. And it delivered us from sin, which the wages of is eternal death. It's in Him that Christ, that God saves sinners. It's in Him. And it's Him that I declare unto you this morning. It has nothing to do with your decision. It has nothing to do with your will. It has nothing to do with your works. You're saved by grace through faith, and that is not of yourselves. And men go, well, I had to have something to do with it, didn't I? Nothing of yourselves. It's just black and white. It's the gift of God. It's a gift of God. This is why I declare Him to you. God's love is in Christ alone. Your redemption is in Christ alone. If you are to be reconciled to God, dear sinner, it'll be in Christ and Christ alone. Paul wrote in Romans 5, he said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. That's how we're reconciled to God. By the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. His death, His life. That's your hope of reconciliation to God. And yet men want to take credit somehow or another. 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ. He said, no, place by His death and by His life, by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We're reconciled, brought into fellowship. That's what that means. When two people are at odds and they make up, it's called being reconciled. A husband and wife who has marital problems and they go their separate ways and they come back together, it says, oh, they reconciled. We're talking about being reconciled unto a holy God. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And we've been reconciled, brought into fellowship again with God by the death of His Son, saved by His life. God raised Him from the dead, for death and the grave could not hold Him. And God has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. And that's why I declare Him unto you. He's the only thing that will profit your soul in any way, shape, or form. Well, won't you tell us how to live? How's that going to profit you? You can tell me how to live, and I can't live that way, even if it's right. No, sir. No, sir. I'm going to declare Him unto you. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Whose grace? His grace. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Friends, has God shown you this blessed truth? Well, you'll praise the glory of His grace if He has. You know why? Because Christ has made us accepted in the Beloved. We didn't make ourselves righteous and holy. Christ did. We're delivered by the hand of His Beloved Son. Do you know why this is amazing? Because Paul said, and you, and you, that were sometime, which means for sometime. Not sometime you were and sometime you weren't. That's not what he meant. He said, for sometime you were alienated. Before Christ saved us, as we were always alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. That's the amazing thing. It wasn't that we were good little boys and girls. We were enemies. Hated God. Enmity in our heart. Won't have this God rule over me. Won't kiss His Son. No, sirree. That's where we were. And while we were yet enemies, yet now hath He reconciled us. Oh, what grace. Oh, what mercy. Oh, what love. Do you see that declaring Him alone to you is the only thing that's profitable to your soul? Every gospel preacher I know standing in a pulpit this morning are declaring Him. I can assure you of that. Because it's Him. It's Him that we declare unto you. We don't have to go far to see that. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through what? His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of what? His grace. Him, His, in whom. I declare only the Lord Jesus Christ to you because it's in Him. You're just kind of beating me over the head with it, aren't you? Let me tell you something. We've got to be beat over the head with it. Maybe we'll see our need of Him. It's in Him that we have redemption through His blood. It's only in Him that we have the forgiveness of sins. It's only in Him that we have all these things. And it's according to the riches of what? His grace. Redemption does not come in attending church, friends. But the redeemed will come to hear God's Word. It's their spiritual food and their life-sustaining food. Redemption is not accomplished by keeping the law. But let me tell you, the redeemed of the Lord desire to be pleasing to God. Redemption has nothing to do with your faithfulness. But let me tell you something, God's people will be faithful. They will. Best they can. And where they fail, they'll pray that God help them not to fail in that area. Redemption is not in how much Scripture you know, friends, in who you know. It's Him that I declare unto you, Paul said. You call Him the unknown God. I call Him Lord and Savior. My everything. All that I need. Verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption. How many times do we say it? We'll say it again. Salvation's in a person. Have you seen that yet? Verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us. Who has? He has. In all wisdom and prudence. Now, try to make that just as simple as I can. In wisdom, He thought of everything. Every way in order to be good and gracious to me, He thought of it all. He purposed everything for my good and your good if you're one of His. And He provided everything. And He is everything. Oh, that little chorus that we sing, Jesus Christ has made to me all I need. All I need. He alone is all my plea. When I stand before God and God says, "What is your plea, dear sinner?" I'm going to say, "Jesus Christ, He's all I need." And God's going to say, "That's right. Enter in, thou good and faithful servant." Jesus Christ, He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. While wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore in Him. My redemption's full and sure. He's all I need. Oh, have you seen He's all you need? I pray that you have. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Well, you know, I believe man's got something to do with salvation. You better read your Bible. And I'd start right here in verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. And again, we see the salvation is the Lord's good. He's made known to us. Is that what it says? How did you come to know these things? He made known to us. We knew nothing. We didn't desire to know anything until He made us willing in the day of His power. It's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. John 6:45. That's what the scriptures say. If you've been taught this, it was God that taught it to you. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Well, I still think man's got something to do with salvation. You better read your Bible. God's our teacher, and He's made known to us the mystery of His will. And a sinner never had a concern with the Lord's will until He made His will known unto us. I did not care. I just didn't care. I'd been told about a God that wanted to and was trying to, and I just said, I ain't worried about that God. But when somebody declared to me the God of the Bible, I said, oh my, this is the God with whom I have to do? And my flippant attitude about Him changed. Every man that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not only did He make His will known to us, it was according to His good pleasure. Verse 9, it pleased the Father to do so. That's all that means. It just pleased God to do so. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. God's good pleasure towards us in making His will known is always because He has purposed in Himself to do so. Didn't nobody grab Him, twist His arm? He purposed in Himself to do so. It is this God, this Christ, that I declare unto you. Many call Him the unknown God. I say He's both just and justifier of those that believe. The Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. And look at them last words again. Even in Him. Have you seen the pattern here, friends? All that God does for sinners is in Christ. No salvation beside that which is in Him. No love, no forgiveness, no grace, no nothing. No wonder Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, you may want to turn over there, verse 4, he said, there's one body, there's one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Only one hope, friends. Why? Because there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This letter is written to God's people now. That's why he uses that word all. But every one of us, meaning God's elect, is given grace according what? To the measure of the gift of Christ. There it is again. Verse 10 tells us He brought together in one all things. Where did He bring them together? In Christ. It's Him. It's Him. That we declare unto you. Now let me ask you, is there anything or anyone other than Christ that I should declare unto you? Is there anything other than Christ and Him crucified that will profit and help you in any way, spiritually speaking? The answer to that is no. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, oh, this just keeps getting better. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. We have obtained our inheritance as adopted children in the Lord Jesus Christ. This too was the work of God. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh what?
All things.
All things. After the counsel of His own will. Now listen, all that we have, all that we are, now righteous and holy, and it was given by God's purpose. Our inheritance as the sons and daughters of God is His gift to us. Inheritance is a gift. My parents, I was an only child, my parents, they didn't have a lot, but they left me all they had. They didn't have to. They could have left it to anyone. They could have left it to the church. They could have left it to some non-profit organization. They could have left it to anyone they desired. But their last will and testament was that they gave it all to me. It was a gift. It was a gift. No wonder Revelation 21 says, He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. And he shall be my son. Adopted into the kingdom of his dear son. Inherited all that is his in Christ. Oh, it's him, friends, that I declare unto you this morning. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. This is the predestinated purpose of our inheritance, that we are to the praise of his glory. Now, don't miss this. I'm finished after this. Listen to this. God receives all the praise and the glory and the salvation of chosen sinners. He gets it all. This is the only message, the true gospel, in which God receives all the glory for the salvation of undeserving, wretched, wicked, good-for-nothing sinners who first trusted in their works and their decision, their free will. No. Who first trusted who? In Christ. Oh, I can't help but to smile. I can't help but to be happy. Because this thing is not dependent upon me. If it was, I'd be scared to death. I can't do anything right. And yet He does all things well. Well. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Okay, verse 13, and we're done. In whom ye also trusted. There it is again, in whom. It's Him that we declare. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. If I could comment on that verse with one word, I'd just say Christ. You see, salvation is in trusting Christ, who is the word of truth. He is the word of truth that we've heard. We heard, and by grace we believe that Christ did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Who is the gospel of your salvation? Well, it's in a person. It's Christ. Christ, the gospel of your salvation. And it's a declaration, it's a proclamation of salvation by Christ. And it gives the account that the author of salvation has the ability, first of all, and the willingness, secondly, to save sinners. That's the best news I ever heard. We believed and we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When something is sealed, it's preserved. My folks used to preserve, you know, whatever it was, they'd put it in that jar and turn it, and you'd hear it pop. My mom say, okay, that one's sealed. It's preserved. And you and I are preserved in Christ. When something sealed is preserved, I cannot lose that which Christ gave, and neither can you. So let me ask you this. How could I declare unto you anything but Him? Really. How could you talk to someone who doesn't know Him about anything else but Him? God gives you the opportunity to talk to someone about the things of God. You're not telling them about your church building. There's some that would. Oh, you ought to see our church building. You ought to see our stained glass windows. You ought to hear our band. You ought to see our choir and their robes. No, God's people declare Him. Can I tell you about my Savior? What He's done for me. Didn't have to. I sure didn't deserve what He gave. How could I declare anything unto you but Him? May the God of this Bible no longer be the unknown God to you. It's the God and Savior. It's this God and Savior, I should say, who's both just and justifier. And it's Him that I declare unto you. And may God enable me to continue to keep declaring Him unto you. And you know something? A child of God never, ever gets tired of hearing it.